Well, good afternoon. It is a real blessing to be here with you all. I haven't been able to take in all the sessions, but what a privilege, what an opportunity that we have to, in your youth, to sit here under God's Word for a whole week and just soak it up. There's people that have that opportunity and don't take it, and there's people that wish they'd have the opportunity and they don't have it. But we have it, so let's make the best of it. I would like to pray, or I would like for somebody to pray for me. I don't know, do we have a volunteer? Somebody want to pray for me from your seat there? David, could we rise and everybody just let's just lift your voice and let's pray.
Instructing us, Lord, be with him. Yes. Bless his mouth and the words that he says, Lord. I pray that you would give him, help him to sense your hand there with him, Lord, as he spends a few minutes here teaching us, Lord. Mm. Pray and thank you for his effort. Bless him for it. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I do feel my need here. Well, the afternoon session, the overall title has been A Life of Integrity. And Chris and Mose had both had a session on this already. I really appreciated what they shared. And there's going to be some overlap, I'm sure, as we go on here. Sometimes as I'm preaching, I tend to ask questions and I tend to say you a lot. And I don't mean, when I do this, I do not mean to condemn anyone or to put a guilt trip on anyone. I don't know, it's just kind of, maybe I need to change it. I don't know. But that's how kind of how my preaching goes at times. And so I don't want it to be, I want it to be an edifying time for us all here today. So I do mean you as we are preaching, but I'm not singling anyone out here. My desire is to lift up Christ. So as we look at this word integrity or character, it's something that the world today, obviously there's no desire or not much desire for integrity. You basically do what you want to do and live your life and no one really cares. And as time goes on, even in my short years that I've lived, the integrity level has dropped tremendously. So, as born-again Christians, as born-again believers, that should make our opportunity greater, right? The darker the world, the brighter our light. Is that right? So let's keep that in mind. The world is a dark place. And God says that ye are the light of the world. The darker a room, the brighter the light. The darker the world, the brighter our light can shine. Our theme verse has been Philippians 4, verse 8. I'm going to read it. And then we're going to look at a few of the words that are in here. And see what the Lord has for us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things." And the first thing I want to point out is this word think. It's not just that we try to remember them occasionally. This word think is a deep word. It's you meditate on them. You give yourself to them. It's not just that occasionally your mind goes to these words. So a few of these character qualities that we want to look at today. The first one is true. True. I'm going to give the definition for integrity again. And if you can remember Chris holding up that piece of cloth, it was wholeness, entireness. It means moral soundness, incorruptness, honest, genuine. So that is what the word integrity means. And we have been given a fallen, our nature is a fallen nature, and we have been given that's how we come into the world. And when we get born again, we would like to think that somehow everything is just going to be right and good now. But it doesn't happen that way. That is the door into another kingdom. But from then on, it's a fight, we could use many other words that Scripture uses of what it is. It's not a one-time boost and you're good to go. In Jude 1, verse 20, it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." And that word "building up" there in the Greek means to build upon. And that is our desire. As we look at these words, that we can build. We want to build. You have some of these, you probably all have these character qualities, some not as strong as others. But we want to build them up. We want to give you tools, or we want to see where we're at maybe, and we want to build on that. We want to move on from, we want to grow in it. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, it says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Let's be wise. He talks about a wise master builder. Let's be wise in our building. And the last part it says, "Take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Let's be careful on how we build. We're all building. If you're alive, you're building. You're building something somehow. You're building. So let's be careful on our building. The question I have is, the way that you're building your spiritual life, if that was a house, would you feel safe living in the house that you are building? If your spiritual life was a house, a physical house, would it be safe to live in? Would it be safe to live in? It's a sobering question. When the winds come and the storms beat, will it stand? Will it stand? Colossians 2, verse 7, it says, "Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Rooted, a foundation, having a good foundation, built up in Him, established in the faith. And that is our heart's desire in these sessions, is that you would be rooted and built up in Him, established and abounding therein with thanksgiving. You don't want to make all the mistakes that many of us have made. So let's take heed. Take heed through these sessions. Not because I'm up here preaching. We've made some mistakes that we wish that somehow we could wipe away. God forgives us, but the mistake has been made. Sometimes people have been hurt, and you don't need to go through all of them things. So let's take heed on how we build. A question that I have is, what is your goal in life? Do I make decisions on how I build by what others are thinking or by what the others are using to build upon? Or do I go to Scripture and see what God thinks? I have a little sketch I'm going to draw. And the title that I want, that came to my mind as I thought of a title, is, Where Are You Aiming? Where are you aiming? Over here I have a target. And over here we have a person. And he's shooting. He's aiming. He's shooting here. He's shooting. He's aiming at the target. And we're going to keep going back to this. You know, we have some of the words that we want to use today is true. Just. Virtue. And there's a lot of other goals that we can have in life. And they might not be wrong goals. They could be very good goals. And the other thing that we could do is write up here 100-fold. And down here somewhere could be 60-fold. I'm not sure where all of this is. And some is 30-fold. And then there's barrenness. If I can spell it, we'll just put down barren. That's not right either. But anyhow, you get the picture. Some want to be successful in life, and there's nothing wrong with being successful. Some want to get married. And the point is, there's nothing wrong with getting married. There's nothing wrong with being successful. Some want to be a good businessman. And these things are not bad goals. They're not necessarily bad goals. But if this guy over here, if he's shooting to be a good businessman, he's missed the mark. He's missed the mark. If he has a passion on getting married, that is his goal, on just getting married, he has missed the mark. Now, I wish or I hope that all of you can experience that someday, being married and having children. But if that's our goal, we've missed. But we can be married and still hit the mark. But we have to aim for the 100-fold. You know, if I'm only shooting for 60-fold, I won't hit 100-fold. If I'm shooting for 30-fold, I will hit barrenness. Because 30, you can't shoot for, if you're not going to shoot for excellence, you're not going to get it. So let's go on. Whatsoever things are true. The Greek word for true means genuine. It means reliable. It means trustworthy, not counterfeit, real or pure. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And the word truth in that verse is basically the same word as the word we're looking at here, true. So how can we build an increase in truth? How can you increase? How can you build upon that? Where are we aiming? The other question I ask is, where I say that I'm aiming, the people that work with you, is that where they would say that you're aiming at? You know, sometimes we can kid ourselves. We can think of ourselves more highly than what we ought. Here are a few things that came to my mind. When you saw or shot that deer, was it what you said? Was it what it was? Or was it a little bigger? Did you make your story just a little bigger? Or the fish that I caught? Was my fish, you know, maybe just a quarter inch or a half inch bigger? What I said, did I say it was a half inch bigger than what it really was? Is that truth? Is that being genuine? When I say a story of a happening that took place with me and some other people, is it to lift me up or to make somebody else of a little less? Are we true? Are we genuine in the things that we do? You know, the two thieves on the cross, the one came to truth, the other one didn't. One went to paradise, the other one went to hell. Our actions have consequences. Now here's something that took place in my own life before I was saved. And I want to use this story to illustrate. I never verbally lied in the story that I'm going to tell you. But at the end, I want you to tell me, was I true? Was I honest? Was I... Anyway, I was helping my brother-in-law build a barn. And I'd get off of work around 2:30. And he got up off at 2:30, and I'd go over there and spend the evenings helping build a barn. Well, one night he wasn't home when I got there. He had something come up, and he wasn't there. And the house was locked, and in his garage was all the tools that I needed. And there's a window. I knew he didn't care if I got the tools that I needed. I was there to help him. That's not the point. But there's a window, one of them crank out windows, and I knew if I could crank that window up far enough, I could slip through there and I could get in there. And so I went out looking for whatever I could find to open that window. And I found some wire, but now I needed something to cut it. So I went to his horseshoe box, and some of you that grew up Amish know what this is, and I didn't spend much time looking at what snips I grabbed one and went and cut the wire. Well, I chipped his snips, and that was his hoof snips. The one that is, one is to cut the nails, and the other one is to cut the hoofs. And I didn't think of looking. I just used it, and I chipped it. Put it away. About $100. I went about my work, you know, I was there to help him. It shouldn't bother too much, should it? A couple weeks later, my brother-in-law come up to me, and he was not accusing me. He had no idea I did it. He said, somebody used my snips. And he had no idea what it was been used for. He was thinking somebody probably used it on his horse. Somebody used my snips. And it was just him and I. And they chipped my snips. That costs about $100. And he's just, and I just played right along with it. Wow. Who would have done that? I never said I didn't do it. And it was left that way until one day I got born again. I was driving down the road and all of a sudden it hit me. And it hit me hard. Now, was I being true? I was not being true. And there's a lot of them little things in life that sometimes it's not what I say that's a lie, or not the truth, it's what I don't say. Sometimes it's not what I say, but what I don't say. I had to call him up, and he had already forgiven me. He had no idea that I did it. In Acts 5, we're going to read the first 11 verses in Acts 5. Another story here of let's consider truth in this story. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price of and kept back part of the price. His wife being privy to it, and bought a certain part, laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Well, as it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And the young and it came to pass, and it was about the space of 3 hours, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered and said, answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her with her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. You know, how did Peter know what Ananias did? I don't know that he did. But somehow, he probably did. Somehow he knew. I don't know how he knew. He was being a hypocrite. And that's the opposite of being true. If you're not true, if you're not 100% true, you're living a life of hypocrisy. And that's what happened here with Ananias. See, honesty and truth are a way of life. It's a way of life. It's not a just words we say, but it's in every area of our life. I really appreciated the things that Mose and Chris shared upon the purity, you know, every motive of our heart, everything about us. Is it pure? Are we true? Are we living in victory? Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Means if I'm hiding sin in my life, God is not going to hear me. James 5 verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confessing, we can be free. Have you confessed your sin to someone? God can forgive you, but you will never be free unless you confess and make it right. Truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And we here know the truth, don't we? Sometimes we're resisting the truth in our heart, but we do know the truth. And if we act upon truth, we can be free. And again, I'm not here condemning anyone, but I want to encourage you all to live a life of truth, to be genuine. Truth or a hypocrite. I have a little illustration here I want to use. I have two pennies here. From where you're sitting, can you see that there's a difference? There's a little bit of a difference, isn't there? You can't see much of a difference. You know, the further away you are, the less you can see the difference. And that's how we can be sitting here. We can be sitting here and we can somewhat all look alike. But there's a way of finding out. There's a way of finding out. One of these pennies is real and the other one is not. There's a way of finding out, a couple ways of finding out how it can be real. I brought my old pen here. I'm going to put some heat to these and we're going to find out which one is real. You know, God says that He will try our works by fire. I don't want to burn my finger. So we have these two pennies. From where you're, Alan, can you see the difference from back there? From back there, you can't see the difference, I'm sure. They look like pennies. But if you put some heat to it, can you see which one is real now? Our works will be tried by fire. One is a fake. The other one is real. I put heat to that one, and I can still go and I can go use it. It's still good. Heat didn't hurt it. Heat did not hurt that penny. It was real. Two different pennies represent two different people. And these two people could be sitting in here. I don't know you. A lot of you I don't know. But these two different people could be sitting in here. You can be dressed basically the same way, can look the same, but one is genuine and the other one is not. First Corinthians, we'll read that where it talks about the fire revealing our work. We'll read from, in chapter 3, we'll read from 9 to 19. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are His husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon, but let everyone take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Think of the two pennies. Will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide with if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved by fire. Yet so by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is the foolish. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in his own craftiness. The real man knows that the fire will not hurt him. He knows that when the fire comes, sometimes we shrink away a little bit. Sometimes we want to get away, but we know that fire is good for us. It doesn't hurt us. The fake just shrivels up. I can burn this up to almost nothing. Who are we? The real person knows that it will work out the impurities of his life. That the 1 Peter 1 verse 7 says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It says being made much more precious than that of gold, our faith that is tried by fire. If it is truly that way, if we're running and we're here trying to be, we all need to make a living. We all need to work with our hands. But if we would spend as much time worrying about or trying to build upon our faith that it's much more precious than that of gold, it says. If we would take care of our faith and build upon our faith in the same way that we run after gold and silver, where would we be at today? The thing is, the integrity, you will be working. A man of integrity will be working on these things as he works with his hands. It's not something that you do separately. That is our everyday life. A man of integrity, it's our everyday life. But what is, as I'm working, whether I'm a builder, whatever I am, what is my mind going to as I work? Is it about myself? Is it about God? Is it about His kingdom? Where does our minds go to? We want to be real. We want to be genuine. What do you talk about? What about your phones? Are they helping you draw closer to God? We heard a lot about phones in these sessions. Maybe we just need to get rid of some of them. Jesus said in Mark 8:37, "What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You think that there'll be men that will give a phone in exchange for his soul? It sounds very foolish. But people are doing it all the time. And we can fill in the blank. I just picked on a phone because we've heard a lot about phones. We can fill in the blank. It can be our dress. It can be a lot of different things. What will we give in exchange for our soul? Your reputation? Where are we aiming in life? What are we? Are we aiming for truth? Are we aiming for a hundredfold? Where are we aiming? John 8:32, I've already quoted this verse. I'm going to quote it again. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." How can truth free us? You know, not being honest where we are in life is a trap. It's a trap. If I'd have a trap here, just not being honest, it keeps you in that trap. Well, you say you've confessed it to God. That's where we need to start. But we need to confess it one to another. Not so that we can... It's not so that we can hear what you're all involved in, but it's to free you. It's to free you. It's humbling for me to go and to a brother and tell him what I have been involved with, what I got, what I did, whatever it might be. That's humbling. But do I want to be free, or do I want to remain in that trap? There's another way. That we can figure out if this penny is real or not. Can you see back there now which one is real and which one is not? One has some substance and the other one does not. One will stand the test of time and the other one will not. Jesus, in John 3, let's turn to John 3. There's three verses there we want to take a quick look at. Verses 19, 20, and 21. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." The fake one doesn't like the light because it brings forth what's in his life. He doesn't like it because his deeds are evil. "For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." You know, the light, we can take that light, and that the real penny doesn't mind. The real person doesn't mind when God shines into his heart. Maybe it is something that he does not want to change in his life, but because he loves God in such a way, because he's aiming for 100-fold, he will willingly change whatever the light is shining into, and God's light is shining into your heart. The real person will want to change because he wants to reach 100-fold. So the light of God's Word, when someone points out an area in your life that you need to change, do you resist? And I realize that there's some resistance sometimes when somebody comes to me. First of all, the flesh wants to resist. But am I, as we wrestle this thing through, am I willing to say, "I will change. I will change for the sake of God and His kingdom. I want to reach 100-fold. Do we welcome input in our life? Do you welcome the light, the God's Word, the light of God's Word, to show you what He wants to do in your life? Are you true, genuine, or are we a fake and a hypocrite? May God help us. Paul said this, basically the same thing twice in 1 Corinthians 6:12 is the first one. "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And again in chapter 10, verse 23, he says this: "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." So That is some good verses to keep in our mind as we consider truth, being genuine, being in all these areas in all these character areas that we're looking at. What is this going to be edifying? Is this going to help me? You know, it's not wrong for me to do it, but is it going to be of any value? And Paul said that if it's of no value, he's not going to do it. Here's something I would suggest that you would do. If God has been ministering to you, not just in the session here, but throughout these weeks, and He's been putting a finger on your heart, I would suggest that you write it down on a piece of paper and that you would put it in your Bible and that you would look at it until you decide to do it. Because a lot of times what happens, we go away from these places and we get busy with life, and pretty soon it's not as that thing that He's been showing us isn't quite as big a deal anymore, and we keep on going and it's not as big a deal, and pretty soon we forget about it. I suggest you write these things down on a piece of paper. Maybe you can go to the prayer rooms and get freed from them, whatever it is. But I suggest that you don't just go home and get busy with life and not change the things where God has been pointing His finger at in your heart. Make it someone can help. Find somebody to help you hold you accountable to the things that you're struggling with. It's our desire that we would all reach this hundredfold goal. Where are we aiming? You know, if I'm aiming for the 30, I will not hit 60 or 100. If I don't want to be too, I don't want to get too, oh, I don't know the words I want to use. Too spiritual, too. I don't want my friends to think I'm better than they are, or whatever it might be. Forget what your friends say. Shoot for a hundredfold. Shoot for a hundredfold. You will never be sorry. Because there is a chance that you will, as you're shooting for 100, that you can miss it by a little. But if you're shooting for 60, you will never hit 100. You will never hit 100. Let's go on to the next one. That there in Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, whatsoever things are just, might not be the next one in line, but the next one we're going to look at. Just is right, righteous. It refers to God's proper standards and actions. Proverbs 20, verse 7, it says, a just man walketh in his integrity. And Habakkuk, the vision that God showed him, he says, but the just shall live by faith. He says it in Paul, I think he says it twice, if not three times in the New Testament. He refers back to that. The just shall live by faith. In Hebrews 10:38, he says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. Where are we aiming? Are we drawing back? Are we going to give it our all? James 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doth it not, to him it is sin. Here's a saying. Justice is based on the universal, unchanging principles of God's word. Fairness will go with the majority. Justice is based on the universal, unchanging principle of God's word. But fairness will go with the majority. How are we doing in this? Are we worried what the people around us will say or think? Where am I going for my guiding principles in life? Do we give our employer our best? Are you just with your time? Are you trying to make your employer successful? Maybe we are the employer. Do you give just wages? Are we genuine in every area of our life? Just. It says in Colossians 3:22, servants, obey them. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. And about the masters, it says in Colossians 4, verse 1, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Whether you are working for someone or someone is working for you, are we just? Are we righteous in what we are doing? 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 to 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them, all them also that love his appearing. And the word righteous here, a crown of righteousness, is not quite the same word, but the Lord, the righteous judge, is the same word. He's a just judge. He will not do us wrong. God is a just judge. And it comes out in Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew 20. I'm going to read the first 16 verses there. It's the account of the parable and the labors. I'm going to read the first 16 verses. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that is the same word, whatever is just, I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and the ninth hours and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, saying unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Then say they unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. That word right is the same word. Whatever is just, whatever wages good for you, I will give it unto you, he's saying. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give unto their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. When they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine, go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And here we see this good man of the house in this parable would be God. And I'm not sure that I completely understand this parable, but the thing that I want to bring out to you is that not everything in life will seem fair. Not everything in life will seem fair. But God is... Let's also remember, God is not just a fair God, but He's a just God. He will give unto us that which is right. Not just what is fair, but that which is right He will give unto us. He wants to burn up the dross in our lives. We've read how He is a righteous judge. So, if we can remember that in our younger years, that not everything in life will seem like we got what we should have got, or someone else didn't get what they should have got. You know, there's, I think of people. There's people that have a lot of sickness. How can that be fair? I have hardly had any sickness. How can that be fair? God is a just God. We leave that into His hands. Not everything in life will seem fair. But let's remember to be faithful, even if it don't seem fair. Even if it doesn't seem just. Let's continue to press on. Confess your James 5 verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that word effectual fervent is to be at work in, to produce. And the word righteous here is the same. He who is a just man, if we are get on our knees and we are earnestly pleading for a situation, God is faithful. God is faithful. It says that you may, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You want much to do? You want to get a lot done? I've really appreciated the book that you've been reading in your assignments. Prayer. Prayer. Are we just? Are our prayers heard or are they hindered? God sees the motives of each one of us. Are we genuine or just? A righteous man, if a person is righteous, if a person is just, you have a good idea what God wants even before you pray, don't you? And that's getting in tune with God. Let's be in tune with God. 2 Peter, the first chapter, I'm going to read some verses there. I'm going to read 12, 13, and 12 to 15. It says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up, putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And I want to go back to verse 12 there, and it says, wherefore. Wherefore. This wherefore means that he is looking to something that he has said previously. So I'm going to go back and start in verse 3. But in verse 13 here it says, yea, I think it meet. I think it's just. The word meet there is the same word. Just. Yea, I think it just. As long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up. Wow. Paul thought it was, if he wouldn't do it, he wouldn't be just. So let's go back. In verse 12, it has a wherefore. Let's go back to verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow, he wants to stir up our minds. Paul is saying this is the thing that he wants to stir up. That he thinks it wouldn't be just if he wouldn't do it. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye are neither barren. Remember on our chart here, you're not going to be barren. If these things are in you, you're not going to be barren. You're going to be aiming a lot higher than this. You're not going to be barren. nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he comes to the wherefore. Because of this, this is the reason that I come and stir you up. And that's the challenge I want to give you. Can you stir one another up as young men? Stir one another up. Paul said it's just for me to do it. It's right for me to do it. And if I read it right, if he wouldn't do it, he would have considered himself unjust. I don't see any other way out of it. So today I want to give that challenge to you. Stir each other up. Stir each other up. It's just right for us to do that. Let's stir one another up. Pray for one another. Build each other up. In John 7:24, Jesus said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And I read this because as we consider our brother, a lot of times when somebody comes, we're busy and, you know, we just kind of hear halfway. And we really didn't really hear what he had to say. Let's take the time and righteously give our brother the time that he needs and rightly judge on how to help him through his struggle. You know, sometimes we can hinder because we didn't really listen to what he had to say. So let's be righteous in our judgment. And that means we need to listen. Sometimes we don't listen. If we listen, we will know how to help our brother, how to counsel him rightly, how to pray for him more effectively. As we've heard, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Peter also said, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved," the word righteous is the same word, "where shall the ungodly and sinner appear?" First Peter 4:12-19. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On this part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Isn't that what we would consider us to be in here today? Judgment needs to start with us. "And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing, as unto a faithful Creator." The word "scarcely," if a righteous man scarcely be saved, the word "scarcely" there means hardly or with much work. And it doesn't mean that you got to go split a load of wood every day with your hand maul. But these things here don't just happen. When you're aiming for this, it doesn't just happen. It's hard work. You know, sometimes you've been taught, I don't know who, might have been Mickey that said about our feelings. Sometimes we don't feel like going on. Sometimes we don't feel like going on. But where it's hard work to keep going when you don't feel like going. Keep on. Keep on. He's talking about suffering for the sake of Christ. There's... I'm going to turn to Matthew 5 here. Verse 38 to 42. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Again, considering what is just and what is fair. You know, the Old Testament, when someone went and poked your eye out, you had every right to go and poke his eye out. It just seemed fair, right? Now, with what Jonathan just shared over while you were singing, because you were taught something different than that growing up, it doesn't quite seem fair that you would do that. But in the Old Testament, that was considered fair. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But the just judge, God says, that's not how it's going to be. If someone hits you on the right cheek, turn the other also. You know, if somebody hit you in the Old Testament, you was allowed to hit them back. That was fairness. But we have a just God. We're called to justice. We're called beyond fairness and to justice. I don't know if fairness, if that's barren, where that would land on our goal there, but... Somewhere. Where are we aiming? It doesn't just affect when somebody hits you, but in life. Somebody says a word and it hurt. Can you say something back to him? Or do you forgive him? How is it? Are we fair or are we just? Just takes God at His word. You took my eye, that is wrong, but I forgive you. You hit me on the right cheek, here's my left. I forgive you. You want my coat, here's my jacket or shoes as well. You want me to go with you, Mao? Can I pay for it yet? It's going the extra. Justice is going beyond just the requirement. You know, if somebody would come and beat me up, I'd have punched someone and they'd take me to court, they would probably let me off the hook because I was in self-defense. But that's of another kingdom. In God's kingdom, that's not just. That's not just. It might have been, the world's standards would have said, well, that's just fair. I mean, that's just what you do. But in God's kingdom, that's not just. I have failed if I go and do that. But we do it in a lot smaller matters than that. Are you just with your time? Are you just with your possessions? Do you give just answers? Are you just with your money, the things you buy? Let's remember, our works will be tried with fire. Are we genuine? Where are we aiming? I wrote a few things down here on the next about a good report. And it goes right with it. I want to say the thing about a report, it depends on, a good report depends on who gave the report. In order for it to be a good report, we need to know where the report came from. Is the report genuine? Is it honest? Is it pure? Is it lovely? If the report that we're getting isn't following these steps, it's probably not a very good report. We know that Google, you can find just about whatever report that you want. I mean, if you believe that a certain thing, you can go on Google and you can find somebody that will back up what you are thinking. Am I right? I mean, it's all on there. So is that a good report? Just because you can find it on Google? A good report, is it genuine? Where are we getting our reports from? He says a good report. Then he says to think on these things, to meditate upon them. I don't really know what all he meant by that good report. Let's go on to virtue. The word virtue, and as we've studied some of these words already, you can't take one hardly apart from the other. Purity. Can you take purity and truth and separate them? Can you take purity and just and separate them? Can you take true and just and separate them? So when we were talking about one or the other, these things are so intertwined that there's a lot of overlap. Virtue. It's strength from straining. That doesn't just sound like a pie in the sky, does it? Strength from straining, or moral goodness, and moral goodness. It's not just something that comes to you. It's something that you work on. Moral is relating to the practice, manners, or conduct of man as social being in relation to each other with the reference to right and wrong, and has the reference to the law of God as a standard by which the character is to be determined. So the word moral is, if we say moral goodness, it means that it has everything to do with God. It has everything to do with God. It says that it has the standard, the law, and the standard by which a character is determined. We've read this verse before, but we're going to read it again. In Peter, 2 Peter, thinking of the word virtue, in the first chapter it says, according as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these things ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world and through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. And I'm going to stop there for the sake of time. But we started out with establishing the about building. Here he's telling us to add to your faith virtue. Build upon your faith. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue, when a person is born again, is when faith becomes, I'm not sure how to say it, but faith, I'm not sure that you can have faith. But here we're talking, we'll go to here. Here we're talking about a born-again believer that has faith. He knows that his sins is gone, that Christ took his sins and they're nailed to the cross. Faith. That's where we're starting from. Now he's saying that this faith, from this faith, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith. It can mean manliness. It could mean godliness. God's grace through Jesus Christ, but it wasn't any good. We're saved through grace in Jesus Christ, but it doesn't do us any good unless we take a hold of it and make it our own. And that's faith. That's where we grab it. And then once you have a hold of that, it's saying, add to your faith virtue. Virtue. The strength from straining. It's being genuine. It's being who you say you are. Add to your faith virtue. Strength, a power to live a moral Christian life. If you try to skip this ingredient, you will be like the man that has built his house upon the sand. It is like building a house without nails or laying a blockhouse without mortar. It's like these two pennies. One is real and the other one is not. One has virtue, one has some substance to it, the other one does not. One is a fake, the other one is real. Virtue. Add to your faith virtue. And it's a strength. It's a strength. It's a power that God gives us. And it only comes when we are obedient to Him. There is no hypocrisy in virtue. It's not fake, but it's real. If I have a besetting sin that I just don't seem to have victory over, whatever it might be, Moses talked about a lot of things yesterday in our pure life, in our moral life, about purity. If we have a sin that is besetting us, what will virtue do? Virtue will go to Scripture and see what it says, how I can be, what I should do. If I have a problem, let's say with pornography, and all of a sudden there's a picture or something in front of me, what would virtue do?
Turn around.
The Bible says, flee. Flee youthful lusts. That's where virtue will find them scriptures that will help you to escape falling in sin. Virtue, that flee youthful lusts. God promised that He will make a way of escape, didn't He? So it's not God's fault, it's not God's problem that when we sin. In Timothy, it says, but in 6 verse 11, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, and meekness. Love, patience, and meekness. Flee. The next thing I believe that that virtue will do is it will seek God and seek forgiveness. It will seek God and forgiveness. The other thing that virtue will not do is if there's a temptation that you know that you have, and you know where the temptation is going to hit you or you're going to be, it will not just stick around. It will not go back to it. Virtue knows that that's not going to work. Virtue, it's a strength from straining. It doesn't just happen that we get victory. The other thing that virtue will do that will help us to gain victory over these things, talking about a besetting sin, and it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That's in Revelation 12, verse 11. According to this verse, how do we become free? There's a couple of ingredients here that it gives us. First is by the blood of the Lamb, and the second one it says, by the word of your testimony. And sometimes we're too ashamed. But if you want victory, it is an ingredient that needs to happen in your life. The word of your testimony. That's how the overcomers, in Revelation it talks a lot of the overcomers, that's how they overcame him. The other thing that it will do is it will seek help and accountability. Virtue knows that I am just one part of a body and I will never be of any good of my own. I need my brothers. And I need them in this area of holding me accountable. The next thing it will do, number six I have, don't go or be by yourself if you know you will be tempted. And I kind of connect that with some others. The other thing I want to say, and with number seven, is set goals. But what good are goals if we never really intend to keep them? Is a goal worth anything if we don't have any intentions of ever keeping them? We can say about these good goals that we have, knowing that I have no intentions of ever keeping it. Let's set goals with the intentions of keeping our goals. And again, Mickey has shared about, don't set your goals so high that you can't reach them. You know, we're talking about building. When you build a house, you start with the foundation, you go up with the walls, and then you put the roof on. You don't go put the foundation in and go hang the doors. That doesn't work. And it's the same way with our spiritual walk. Set yourself some goals that you can reach. You know, next year, don't make them same, but extend them. You keep building, you know. You need to keep building. It's not something that you're not going to be the same place as a man that has walked with God for 50 years, or at least he should be far ahead of us. So we need to keep building, keep pressing on, keep going on. And I think that virtue is a strength to live a moral life, a moral Christian life. Virtue is that, gives us that power. It gives us, we know what to do. Virtue knows what to do. Jesus said in John 15, he wants us to be fruitful. And if we don't bring forth fruit, he will cut off that branch and it will be burned. Is it going to work? You know, I'm not saying that in your goals that you shouldn't shoot for a hundredfold. I'm not saying don't shoot for a hundredfold. When I say that when you make goals, don't set them so high that you can't reach them. I'm not saying don't shoot for a hundredfold. You can always shoot for a hundredfold in all your goals that you set. I don't know if that makes sense or not. Make sure you can reach them, but make sure that shoot for a hundredfold. Remember, where are we aiming? A man that is aiming for 30-fold will never, ever reach 60. He probably won't hit 30. If you're shooting for 100-fold, by God's grace, you'll reach 100-fold. But if you're shooting for 30, you will not hit higher than 30 in your Christian walk. You will not. It's impossible. So let's check in our hearts and our lives. What is my goal in life? Where am I aiming? Where am I aiming? Add to your faith virtue. Let's remember to shoot for 100-fold. Let's not give up because the mark is way high. You guys like a challenge, right? There's a challenge. Shoot for 100-fold. Go for 100-fold. Purpose in your heart to reach your goal. I really appreciated spending my time here with you. God bless you. I desire that God could use this to help you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord, to help you grow in your spiritual walk with Him. God bless you. I appreciate all of you. It's been a pleasure.